Welcome to the Teaching Space Podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello and welcome to the Teaching Space Podcast. It's Martine here. Thank you so much for joining me. I have an interview for you today. It is my great pleasure to welcome Elizabeth Hutchinson back to the podcast. Elizabeth first appeared on the Teaching Space Podcast in episode 13. That was a long time ago. And we talked about why it's time to get to know your school librarian. So Elizabeth, welcome back to the show.
Hi, it's great to be here. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes, me too. I think it would be good, even though I'm sure everybody listening has heard episode 13, it would be good to do a little bit of an introduction. Could you reintroduce yourself to the Teaching Space listeners, please? Because your situation has changed a bit since the last episode.
It has slightly. So I'm a chartered librarian and fellow of CILIP. I worked for the Guernsey Schools Library Service from 2003 and was appointed head of service in 2014. So in episode 13, I was still head of service at that point. I'm now an independent trainer and advisor for school libraries. And my main area of interest is inquiry learning and how media and information literacy fits within it. I came runner-up in the 2016 Lilac Information Literacy Awards and made the shortlist again in 2020. I was delighted to be awarded the British Empire Medal in 2020 for services to libraries. And I'm an international presenter, blogger, and I write for the CILIP Information Professional. I'm vice chair of the Great School Libraries Committee. And in my spare time, which there isn't very much of, as you can imagine, I run an online CPD forum for library staff and teachers called Library Staff Love Learning.
Fabulous. That's quite a CV. And your last point there about professional development is interesting, because we're going to frame today's episode around professional development. And because we thought it would be interesting to explore how professionals in different areas of education, and by that I mean you and me, perceive and approach professional development, and maybe zone in on some specific experiences, as well as the idea of leading professional development. So your own and the development of others. So I'm going to hand over to you, Elizabeth. Perhaps you could start by telling me about, I'm going to do that classic thing where I give you two questions in one. The most recent example of good professional development you participated in, and perhaps then go on to talk about a separate PD event or initiative that you led.
So two questions in one. I want to start by
classic
by probably talking about a CILIP school library group training day that I was involved with last year, which came about because I was on the CILIP SLG committee.
It might be worth just mentioning what CILIP stands for, actually.
Okay. Yeah, so CILIP is the Chartered Institute of Library and Information Professionals. And the I did say the SLG is School Library Group. We put Thank on a you. Training day called the Value Added School Librarian, and it focused on the IFLA School Library Guidelines. So IFLA is the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions. They have a guidelines, and Chapter 5 is the core activities of a school librarian. So I was involved in helping set it up, but I was also involved in providing one of the sessions. But for me, that day brought about something that I think in the normal world of face-to-face training probably wouldn't have happened. We were able to bring together people from all over the world. We were able to bring a community of people together. So even though it was primarily focused for school librarians, it is important that teachers and schools themselves understand the importance of school libraries. So it brought together teachers who were presenting for us, academics who were presenting for us, and an opportunity for myself to learn from people that in the real world before COVID probably wouldn't have happened. And this, these kind of opportunities that have come about in the last year have been eye-opening, to say the least, and I think have led me on my own personal learning journey to understand that taking the opportunities like this when they come along are hugely important. So that is the first one that I wanted to sort of mention, in the fact that it was something that I was able to help set up, which was a big learning curve in itself, but actually take part in and also attend. So I sort of saw it from three different angles, which was, you know, hugely beneficial. But learning from people that I had not previously expected to be able to was massive for me, I think, is the big thing.
I think there's some great stuff in there, actually, Elizabeth. I just want to pick up on the fact that if you are somebody who is generally on the receiving end of professional development, as opposed to the person who organises the PD, organising PD can be great PD. You learn so much by being in that leadership position, if you will. And I use the term leadership loosely there, that more sort of coordination role. You learn a lot about yourself and how you work. Would you agree with that?
I would absolutely agree with that. I think as well is understanding your focus. So it's so easy to, or easier to put on a training day that is, has a very generic title, so you know, let's think of something, you know, just generally about inquiry, and then you just grab whoever you think is going to be able to talk along that topic. But actually, if you focused it so narrowly like we did, initially it was beginning to feel as if, oh my goodness, we've bitten off more than we can chew. But when even though when it was a narrow topic that we were focusing very clearly on chapter 5 of the ZIFLA guidelines, how wide that allowed our reach. So there was there's a section on literacy and reading promotion, which obviously, you know, most school librarians deal a lot with, which is the reading for pleasure side. But we found a wonderful teacher called Alice Bissafure, who is an English teacher, and she presented that section and based it around reading for information. And it just opened up another opportunity for school librarians and teachers to look at the role of the school library within a reading framework, but not the reading for pleasure that it's commonly done. So, you know, I think that's what I learned, was the fact that you might have a title that, you know, makes sense to fit with what you know, but actually if you push the boundaries to open it up to other professionals with their take on it, it just opens the professional development up to a wider audience and bigger learning.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. The idea of a narrow focus, but getting professionals in the same virtual room to share their experience, that is definitely more the way that effective professional development is headed, in my opinion. That's a really fantastic example. Yeah. What about an initiative that you've led in this arena?
So I have a confession to make. I'm not very good at professional development, or I wasn't very good at professional development. When I first started my professional journey, when I became a qualified librarian back in 2003, I was very much of the mindset that I would sit and wait for it to happen. So I was told to go on a conference once a year. I took those opportunities to get to have a weekend away from my children, if I'm honest. learnt as I went along the benefits of these conferences and the, you know, the networking and the people that you meet, and you know, so that grew. I became quite aware of the fact that after I'd done my chartership, so as a qualified librarian, you can become chartered with CILIP. And it's, you know, added to your professional development. I've subsequently gone on and got my fellowship with them. But chartership is very much a case of learning as you go. So it's looking at your practice aiming to expand your knowledge and skill set, but really being critical about what you do. And I found that looking at my professional work in that way really benefited me and what I was doing. It expanded my knowledge and understanding of what I enjoyed. And we all learn better when we are enjoying it, don't we? I think when that stopped, I was aware that I very quickly went back into that routine of, you know, my professional journal came once a month and I flicked through that without much aim or purpose. And I felt that I needed more. I needed something that would push me to engage. And it was the engagement, I think, that I was missing. So I was joining a Twitter chat at the end of 2017. And I was, the question was, what was your New Year's resolution? And really not thinking about it very clearly or what the relevance of such a tweet might mean, I wrote something along the lines of, I'd like to start a book club that for school librarians where we read nonfiction for professional development, is anybody interested? And my tweets went mad. Everybody jumped in going, yeah, we want to do this. And then I had to think, well, how on earth am I going to set this up? So I am very much the kind of person that has an idea and we go for it and we'll see what happens. And since 2018, it has evolved significantly. But in those early days, I suggested a book, people bought it, and once a month, it was every 3 months at that point, we discussed, I wrote some questions and we used Padlet at the time. But it was more about pushing myself to read something and then to discuss it. And this discussion side of it has really grown. To a stage where probably beginning of last year, so 2020, I decided that I would be more focused. So rather than just randomly picking a book or a journal article or a blog or whatever, I would be more focused. So I think in my introduction, I said I was really interested in inquiry learning. So a lot of my discussions are around that. I have moved it from general blogs to more journal articles or chapters of books. And we try and discuss something once a month. So middle of the month before I post up what we're reading, people join in my forum on my website. And at the beginning of the month, I pose some questions and we discuss. And I found that that has just really pushed the boundaries of what I can learn. So critically evaluating in the past a journal article that I had read was purely down to my own thoughts, understanding, whereas the discussion on a forum has led me to thinking about other people's ideas, what they get from the same article, same chapter, and their concerns and worries and their personalities. And I think that kind of learning and professional development for me has been huge. It led to, at the end of 2020, to a really significant step forward, which was there was a free publication called Focus on Inquiry, which was written by Professor Diana Oberg and Jennifer Branch-Muller, who are professors in Canada, who had created a inquiry model that was embedded within the Canadian education system. And alongside the Fossil Forum, so Daryl Turian created Fossil, which is a framework of skills for inquiry learning. He has been working with them to pull this all together. So we decided, Daryl and I, that we would try and encourage everybody to download this free publication, which was Focus on Inquiry, and break it down into chapters And each month we would discuss several chapters at a time, leading to a webinar in January 2021 with the authors. I'm tingling just as I'm telling you about it, because
I can tell. That's so cool.
The opportunity to discuss something that you've looked at quite in depth with the people that actually wrote it was such a huge opportunity.
I can really relate to that. That's really exciting.
It was massive. And for, you know, again, in the past, I think, you know, if we tried to do that in January 2020, for example, the technology probably wasn't good enough, or people didn't have the skill set to be able to achieve that. But with, you know, how learning has gone online and everybody being familiar with webinars, this opportunity to expand our learning in such a way was huge. So I think if you have got the determination, I think if you've got the will, I think, you know, the world's your oyster these days as far as professional development is concerned, because, you know, people are so willing to share their expertise with each other that, you know, my library staff love learning, which started off just on a whim, like I said, has taken a life of its own. And, you know, constantly I'm having to push myself to think of, okay, what are we going to read next? What are we going to discuss next? But with a real focus and, you know, opportunities to do some really exciting things, which I had never imagined when I sent out that tweet in 2017. So, you know, I think I wanted to tell you about it because it just has grown into something that I'm really proud of. But I think, you know, I said at the beginning that it was for selfish reasons that I did it. And I think it's still for selfish reasons, because it makes me do it. But those selfish reasons have allowed me to provide professional development for others and learn from others, which I hadn't really expected when I started.
What a fabulous story. There are so many things that I can relate to in what you've just explained. And it's really lovely to hear your enthusiasm for the initiative as well, because that really shines through. Personally, the way that there's a couple of things that you said, that the idea of discussing, say, a chapter of a book or something like that with others. Firstly, that's such a good point, to actually just do a chapter, not set a massive, massive book for people to read. And I know it sounds like a really small thing, but that never would have occurred to me. I love the idea of a chapter for a book club situation.
Absolutely.
Because then you can really get deep into it.
It does make
such
a difference.
Good idea.
It does make a difference. I did find that, you know, even giving people 3 months to read a book, we all have different things going on in our lives, don't we? And it's not always possible. So, yeah, a chapter.
But you make
well.
It manageable.
Yeah.
I think that's just such a good idea. And then the discussing it with others, as I think we've talked about in the past, I'm doing my master's at the moment with the Open University. So it's 100% online learning. But we have a forum, and that's a really big part of the course. And also we have tutorials via sort of we don't use Zoom, we use something else, but similar sort of idea. And that interaction with my peers who are in full-time education roles, most of them, and doing their masters at the same time, for me, that is where all of the learning happens. I mean, the content is great, but it's when you start unpicking the literature that you're reading and applying it to your own context and then getting other people's take on it, it's absolutely fabulous.
It is.
The other thing I was going to say is that I can relate to that idea of challenging yourself to create something for others, but you get a lot out of it as well. So for me, that's the podcast. Yep. And by pushing myself to put content out every 2 weeks that I think is going to help others, I learn a ton. I learn a ton from these discussions, like this interview we're doing right now. I get the opportunity to talk to fantastic people like you, Elizabeth, of course. One thing that kind of I was remembering while you were talking was when I've been doing a lot of work on professional development, and in particular, looking at the role lesson observation can play, I read a lot of Professor Matt O'Leary's research, and then I got him on the podcast, and it was a complete fangirl moment. Yeah. So I totally get that kind of tingly thing you were talking about. You know, I'd been reading so much of Matt's research, and then I got to talk to him and ask him real questions about his research in relation to my context and the work that I had done. So yeah, I totally get that.
It's such a huge opportunity. And like you say, it's a bit, I'm going to be speaking to, and then you think, okay, you've got to be sensible here, you know.
They are just people.
They are just people. It's so good though.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I think that attitudes towards professional development are shifting, and this idea of kind of creating your own PD opportunities rather than just waiting for the next conference or inset day or whatever it is that your organization does for you. Instead of doing that, a lot of professionals are seeking out their own PD opportunities, whether that's teachers, librarians, any education professional. Twitter, we're both on Twitter and reasonably active on there. That's a great forum for learning new things and finding new information. A recent player is Clubhouse. I don't know if you've got in on Clubhouse that's an audio platform.
I'm going to say, I need you to tell me more about Clubhouse, because when I saw your questions, I was thinking, I've not come across this. I did do a little bit of research, like a good librarian does, but certainly you'll have to tell me more.
I've got an invite. I will send you one. in a nutshell, it's an opportunity. It's audio only, which as a podcaster, for me, that's really cool. I like audio as a medium.
Is it a little bit like Voxer? Is it Voxer?
Voxer's more like a chat, voicemail type thing. This is definitely a social network where you can, it's a bit like doing a live interview podcast and having people pop in and listen, and then you can invite those people to talk within the podcast. A bit like a radio show, but it's not quite. It's definitely worth investigating. Mm. They've been very clever, because at the moment it's invite only.
Yeah.
So there's a real kind of FOMO thing going on.
Right, so I'm expecting my invite soon.
You will get an invite, definitely. But it's worth checking out. And it's such a good example of this, people seeking out their own professional development opportunities and not waiting for the next thing to come along. So I think it's really worth exploring. I'm seeing this with trainee teachers in particular. They're seeming to be much more hungry to find out new opportunities like this. It's more self-led. And what you've been talking about really speaks to that. Could we maybe dig into this self-led PD a little more and talk about why it's fabulous, but also maybe what some of the challenges are?
I'd like to start with challenges, because I want to end with what's great about it. So
I like that.
If we start with the negatives, I think it's you know, or the challenges, it's finding your focus. And when I was thinking about how I was going to answer that question and how important that finding your focus is, it takes me right back to school. I left school at 16. I did okay, but I never really enjoyed school. And I really didn't begin to sort myself out until I found what I enjoyed. And that is, you know, my school librarian or my librarian route. And I didn't learn that enjoyment in education was important until I started on my degree to get my librarian qualification. And the impact that made on how I learned, how I dedicated the time that was needed for it. And I think, you know, we talk about, you know, people finding their path at different times. And I think that's definitely true within, you know, within our students, that you can really spot students who are doing well because they're engaged, they're enjoying it, and those students that just sadly don't, because they haven't found what's important to them. So going back to the challenges, I think it is finding your focus. So, you know, if we're talking about teachers, you might be a geography teacher, for example, but your focus might be more on, you know, child development. And if that is your focus, if that's what you really enjoy, then that's where your professional development should take you. So the challenge is finding it. I think the second thing to think about is making yourself do it. Definitely a challenge for me. Finding a way to make sure you're engaging. So, you know, not everybody has the time to do what I did, which was set up, you know, my forum, but find a forum, find something that posts, you know, gives you something to not only read, but also engage with. And if that's through Clubhouse or through Twitter, or, you know, there are various opportunities, you know, Twitter chat and things like that, that allow you to do that. I think it's really easy to find yourself overwhelmed. How do we know what to choose? Where are we going to go with it? You know, I because there's so much, you have to go on what is, you know, the title, the outline of whatever it is that you're turning up to. And recently I turned up to something that sounded amazing, and it was overwhelming, and ended up having to switch it off. And that's okay. It's a bit like reading a book.
Yes, it is.
Not everybody is going to provide the best CPD in the world. Not everybody is going to enjoy everything that they turn up for. And actually, it's about making those decisions, isn't it? It's about going, okay, that one wasn't for me, and just put it down to experience. And I think it's too easy to flick through without dealing with anything in depth. And that is a challenge. So your challenge to yourself has to be, have I this month read something and really thought about it? Or have I just done what all our students are guilty of, which is reading the headlines? You know, how am I going to focus on something really in depth? And even if it's not joining a forum, you know, have I read something and written about it? So those are the challenges that I feel that we're all facing.
I agree with that. I just want to really pick up on that aspect of focus. I think that's really, really good advice, because if you don't focus, if you don't zone in on something to focus on, you are going to get overwhelmed. And as you know, a lot of what I want to do with the teaching space is help people not be overwhelmed by how much there is to do and how much information there is out there. So I really love that advice of focusing on something. It doesn't have to be the thing you focus on for the rest of your career.
No, absolutely.
It can be that actually for the next 6 months, I'm focusing on learning about this thing. I'm a big fan of boundaries, and we might kind of zone in on that when we talk about workload later on. But the idea of having a boundary of focus for your PD is just cracking advice. So thank you for that.
It's all right. It's good. It's just, it's all things that I've learned along the way, you know.
Me too.
Yeah. It's too easy to just think, oh, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do the other. And actually none of it is relevant until
exactly
you narrow it down. Yeah.
It's time for a quick ad break. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you will know I love Notion for project management, writing, collecting resources, tracking my reading. It's basically my second brain. If you want to up your Notion game, I highly recommend Marie Poulin's Notion Mastery course. Find out more at theteachingspace.com/Notion course. What about why self-led PD is fabulous? Those are the challenges. What about the good stuff?
So what is great is that you can find what's important to you. So the reverse, it's interesting. So I want to focus on purpose. The reason that we do professional development can vary. So for some of us, it can be for something like another qualification. Like for me, chartership has started me off. For others, it might be that you need the right professional development to become head of department or progress in your career. But for others of us, and I'm thinking very clearly about school librarians, where the professional ladder isn't as easy to navigate, that sometimes you're just doing it because you want to learn more. And actually, the more excited that you get about something, the more experienced you become in it, and your ability to talk about it and share it with others puts you on a different professional path, I feel. So there's a real huge opportunity to engage with something more fully, but then become the expert in it. And actually, strangely enough, I've become an expert in fossil without even realizing that I was that I was doing that. But I now, you know, when I first started on that specific journey, it was a case of I'm never going to be able to talk about this. But the more you talk about it, the more you learn, you do become an expert. And actually understanding that is part of your professional journey too, I think. So it might not be a promotion within, you know, where you're working, but the expertise that you gain maybe opens doors that you didn't even imagine. So when I first started, being invited to speak at conferences was never on my radar. And actually people wanted me to talk about what I was learning. You know, being asked to write articles about what I'm doing has come about because of professional development. So you know, it's about opening doors. It's about experiencing things that you would never have imagined at the beginning of the journey. And I think that's what's really special about it. You know, I think you mentioned it before, Martine, the social media opportunities. You know, that goes back to not being able to find what you need. What should we be reading? What should we be finding about? And actually, because something like Twitter is so current, that actually we don't need to do the searching for, because others are searching, are finding it for us. So, you know, we have, if you have got the right people that you are following that are interested in the same thing as you, you that are then able to use their expertise to find what you should be looking at. So it's a bit like not knowing about Clubhouse. You know, knowing the right person that does, it means that that's something that I'm now going to focus on. You know, I've written down that you should find your clan. And I think there's two sides to that. One is finding a clan is really, really important. Finding people that are on the same journey as you, whether it's within the same area of expertise or not, doesn't really matter. I think your clan is important, but I also think that you mustn't get too stuck in a bubble. and bubble's a bad word these days when you're talking about yes. COVID. But what I mean by that is bursting out of that bubble, bursting out of your own understanding of something, your own ideas and way of thinking, and listening to people who are saying something different to you, because that is a huge learning opportunity. And your clan on social media, your bubble on social media, should include all of those kind of people too. And again, it's finding, you know, those are huge, huge opportunities. And you know, have come about more and more recently to be something that I, again, would never have imagined that I would have the opportunity to speak to such people about things, you know. So, you know, my latest one is speaking to Barbara Stripling. So people who work in the library and inquiry world, she's a well-known expert in inquiry, and certainly is not somebody that I would ever have picked up the phone and spoken to. But I'm engaging with her on a forum through Twitter. It's just amazing, you know. So that's what's great about CPD. You'll never know where it's going to take you. You're never know who you're going to get the opportunity to talk to. And it pushes the boundaries to the people and your own way of thinking. So, you know, that opposite to what you think is equally as important.
There can be so much learning to happen off the back of having people challenge your thinking.
Absolutely.
I completely agree about the idea of finding your people on social media or wherever you are seeking to obtain professional development, but also balancing it out so it doesn't become an echo chamber or a bubble, as you described it. Yeah,
yeah.
That's really good advice. One thing that occurred to me while you were talking about the career path of a librarian, it sounds to me a little like the career path of a teacher. What's tricky in education, what I've learned over the past sort of 12 years, is that if you are an ambitious teacher and you want to progress, the more you climb the career ladder, the less teaching you do. And it kind of feels a bit counterintuitive, because if you're passionate about teaching and learning, it feels sometimes like the only progression route is into senior leadership. And I have nothing against any form of leadership at all. But for some people, it's the teaching and learning side of things they want to, you know, really excel at. So the way you were describing it from a librarian perspective is interesting, because you're talking about progression in terms of becoming an expert in a certain area, becoming an, I was going to say influencer there, but that sounds a little bit too Instagram. I'll go with thought leader, you know, becoming a thought leader, the idea of writing for articles and speaking at conferences. In my experience, doing both of those things has helped me develop personally and professionally. Yeah. So I think there's some really interesting stuff there about how you progress in your teaching, education, librarian career. And it might not be the trajectory that is considered traditional. It might not be where you thought you'd end up, but the opportunities are there. So I really love that.
Yeah. I think it's just important to understand that it's not always for career progression, that actually there might be something else there that is going to, you know, engage you in a way that you didn't imagine. Yeah,
it's progression in terms of moving forward with your thinking, moving forward with your development, not necessarily career focused. Yeah. I definitely agree with you there. I'm mindful that we're talking about some fantastic, exciting things, but particularly in the current climate, workloads, whether you're a teacher or a librarian, are high. Work is tough right now due to, you know, that little pandemic thing we've got going on. It is tough working in an education environment. That's not to say that professional development should go out the window. We do have a professional responsibility to keep developing. But I'm just thinking about workload. Do you have any thoughts on how the listeners can access bite-sized professional development, something that's not going to kind of take them out for the whole day, just little nuggets of learning?
I think probably my best one is, you know, as long as you don't get sucked down the rabbit hole of Twitter, is to join in Twitter chats. So I personally find Twitter quite, and this might sound stupid because I love Twitter, but I find it difficult to engage with people just randomly. You know, I'm very conscious of the fact that I don't want to say the wrong thing. I keep my head low, and I share a lot. I retweet a lot, but I generally don't very often have a conversation on Twitter. But you can in a Twitter chat, and I feel very comfortable within Twitter chats because there is a, you know, again, back to focus, there's a focus. There's a group of people who all want to discuss that same theme. There's usually questions, and it's usually very short. So, you know, some of them are less than half an hour, others are an hour, but you know what you're signing up for. You can, you know, you can look generally at the questions before the chat. You don't have to answer everyone. Every question might not be relevant to you, but you then head off, you know, within a Twitter chat and within that confines to be able to talk to people who are interested. So that would be the first thing. You know, find a group, whether it's on Facebook is slightly different, but I would definitely say Twitter chat within that closed confined environment is really useful. I think we went back to it earlier. We said earlier, find your focus, use that focus to, when you're flicking through your professional magazine, to really read, you know, that one article. Don't worry about the rest of it. Find that one article that is going to make a difference and give yourself half an hour. I wanted to share with you something that I found on Twitter just this morning. I don't know whether you've heard of Mary Myatt, but she's an
fabulous
education advisor. And somebody else had taken a photo, a copy of a page of one of her books recently. And it was about the value of reading. And
oh, I saw that.
Okay.
Yes.
And it rang that it's a perfect thing to say here and now, is that she said the value of reading for interest and pleasure is just as important as reading about leadership and management, and none of it is a waste of time. So, you know, if you have got half an hour and you want to read a great book that's fiction, then that is equally good for your development, your mental health, your you know, reflection process. So reading of any sort, you won't be surprised to hear from a librarian, is a must. Is a must.
It's very on brand.
Is a must go to thing. But I think, you know, I think what really rang true with me there with that tweet this morning was the fact that, you know, we all focus on what we have to do. We have to do our professional reading on, you know, for me, inquiry learning. But actually, that reading that fiction book that's giving me real pleasure is just as important. So don't feel pressurized into doing your professional development. It could just be a conversation you've had with another teacher in the corridor, could lead to thinking about something that you hadn't thought about before. And that is professional development in my book. So it's everywhere. You just have to recognize that conversation or that bit that you read is helping your learning. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, a little bit of reflection on maybe the conversations that you've had is enough for now if you're having a really busy time.
I completely agree. And actually, just briefly going back to Twitter and the power of Twitter, and how I really feel what you're saying when you said that it feels a bit weird to kind of engage with people when you haven't had a kind of introduction or anything like that. Yeah. But what I've been experiencing recently is, after having a little bit of chat on Twitter, then kind of taking the conversation off Twitter. So I've met a couple of people via the platform recently, and we've organized Zoom calls afterwards, you know, and really just had a proper actual face-to-face, obviously virtual, but yeah, still with faces involved, and kind of deepened our conversation to more than the number of Twitter characters. And that for me has been incredible professional development, because yeah, I've been able to talk to somebody maybe in a similar role to me in the UK or something like that, and kind of ask them all of the questions that are just bubbling away in my brain. And it's been wonderful. And it's not taken a long time. You know, we were talking about quick professional development, manageable professional development, quick chat on Twitter, Zoom call for 20 minutes, half an hour. That has had more value to me than a 2-day conference in
absolutely
some respects.
Yeah.
So there's some absolutely great tips there. I will try and find that Mary Mike's tweet and put it in the show notes if I can locate it.
I shared it, so you should be able to find it online. I guess one of the other things you've just reminded me of is that, you know, maybe I've had or shared something on Twitter, and I've then subsequently received an email where somebody has taken what I've said and really expanded it. And you don't know the impact that you're having on other people. So you know, that email conversation has then led to a professional relationship that it wouldn't have happened otherwise. So, you know, I think putting yourself out there a little bit, you know, getting an idea of what you're about and what's important to you leads people to you in a way that you wouldn't have imagined either. And, you know, that an email from somebody else explaining what they've learned from you can be equally as beneficial to me as to them, you know? So again, it's opening up a world that doesn't need to take time. Like you say, Martine, it's just, it happens without us really realizing it is, you know?
And those interactions can do wonders for the phenomenon that is imposter syndrome.
Oh, hugely.
If somebody's read something yes, you've written, exactly, and they're saying, oh, this has really impacted my practice and I do this, this and this, that's like, oh goodness
really?
Me, that feels good.
It does, absolutely, yeah.
One thing I just wanted to add to the kind of social media for professional development type discussion, and this is, my listeners won't be surprised at me bringing this up, because boundaries is one of my favorite words, it turns out. I'm very mindful that platforms like Clubhouse, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it is that you enjoy, even Instagram, for example, they are social spaces. That's what they're for. They are social media. So I think I'm a huge fan of using these platforms for professional development, but I think there's also there's a balance to be struck in terms of if you've done a long day at work and you come home and you spend all your time on Twitter looking for articles to read, and you then have a Clubhouse thing going on, and then you do a webinar after that. That's actually not a healthy balance. I'm really rethinking my version of work-life balance post-pandemic, because I've been working from home quite a bit, and I've been able to kind of shift things around, and it's been a very positive thing for me. But I think I just want to make the boundaries point that the bite-size PD is fantastic, but it's bite-size. Yeah. And so you don't do bite-size after bite-size after bite-size. So that's all that you do. Reading just one article in your journal, that is fantastic. That is a brilliant approach, because there's a boundary around it.
Yeah.
So just because I love the word boundaries and the concept of boundaries, and it really relates to your idea of focus as well, not doing all the things, focusing on the one thing. I just think it's a really important point in relation to workload.
Absolutely. I think we all have to, all have to put our own boundaries. I do like that word. It is, and I think I use the word rabbit hole in relation to Twitter before. Mm. I think you can get lost. You can lose focus if you're not careful. So I think the two go together perfectly, Martine. You know, we need focus and we need boundaries. And with both together,
I think we are
on a very positive route to some really good professional development.
Definitely. I'm rethinking the title of this episode, actually. It might have those two words. We're heading towards the end of the interview now, but I have a couple more questions for you. I'm going to go with an admin question now. I can't believe I'm asking an admin question. I want to ask you about something that colleagues, and actually I find this tricky as well, logging your professional development. It's something that we are supposed to do. You talked about sort of conversations on Twitter as PD, reading a journal article as PD. It's really tricky to remember to log those things. And then once you've logged them, maybe logging some form of reflection as well. I'm interested in how you go about logging your professional development and then subsequently reflecting on it.
Okay, so I think it's, again, there's two different things there. One is because I'm a fellow of SILIP, I need to re-register, revalidate. Supposedly every 2 years, I'm heading into my third year, so it's a note to self, I need to do it. But what I'd have to do for that is I keep a Word document that logs it all. So specifically if it's important and it is within my focus. I don't log everything. So, I think I have to prove that I've done about 30 hours a year of CPD. I literally log the time it's taken me, what it's called, and then I have a space that is a very, very general reflection on why I did it and what I learned. That take, you know, I don't write reams and reams. I wait. So for my fellowship, I will eventually have to write a proper reflection, and I will use that time to do that properly. So it's more of a general reminder of what I've done. I link very clearly with the forum, Library Staff Love Learning. So if we've read something and we've really discussed it in depth, then my log will have a link to that discussion as my reflection. I think it's just a case of it's a good habit. You know, at the end of the month, what have I done? Have I logged everything? Did I watch a webinar that I haven't written about? Because if we don't have that log, we have no evidence to prove that we are actually doing anything. And I think it's really, I think it's really important for when you have your appraisal that you can take along a short list of professional development that you have done, that you can say, I've done it because this was my focus. I've done this and this is what I benefited from. And to prove that you're doing stuff beyond what the school is providing or what your library is providing. And I think, you know, we if something is important, you'll do it. And logging your professional development, even on a Word document or an Excel spreadsheet, is the simplest way to do that. But it also then, when I reflect over the year and look at what I've done far more than I thought I did. So there's a benefit to that as well. So, you know, habit forming, make it something that you can take and share, are both reasons that I write down what I do in order to be able to move myself forward. Plus the fact that you can look back over the year and go, actually, my focus was supposed to be that, and I've done nothing of that. So, you know, you can then push yourself to find something that is relevant. I don't know whether that's helpful, but that's what I do.
No, I think that's a really good point. And actually, I like the idea of perhaps setting a diary note once a month, putting some actual space in your calendar for doing this. Because if you make the space in your calendar, particularly if, like me, you use a digital calendar, it means nobody else can book anything else in that slot. So you're kind of, you're giving yourself some time to do something that's important. And then on the subject of habit forming, spot on. I think I've got a podcast episode about habit forming, so I'll link to that in the show notes, because it's quite an interesting area. I think that's helpful. Good tips. Writing it down helps you look back on whether you stuck to your focus. It can also help with future professional development planning as well. So, you know, if you don't write it down, it never happened. Yeah. That's not exactly strictly true, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Having a little area for reflecting or kind of assessing what the impact of your PD was. I agree. I think that's the way to do it. Oh, it's been so interesting talking to you, Elizabeth. We're reaching the end of the interview now, so I've got just a couple of questions. Is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I want to say that no one can make you do professional development. You know, it's not going to come and find you. You have to go and find it for yourself. You have to understand that learning never stops. And as educators, it's important that we lead by example. It's important that we learn to talk about what we've learned in order to make sense of it. So make sure that you find people that you can talk to about it. But most of all, you have to find your passion and see where it leads you.
I love that. Thank you, Elizabeth. And finally, if people want to find you online and find out a bit more about what you do, what's best? Where can they find you?
Okay, so I have a website. It's elizabethahutchinson.com. But if you just type Elizabeth Hutchinson and school libraries into Google, you'll find me. I'm on Twitter, at Elizabeth Utch, without two H's in the middle. I offer training for school librarians and teachers. So, you know, I look out for what people need rather than assuming what they want. So, you know, if you check out my website and you think it might be worth talking to me, I'm happy to create bespoke training. So please just, you know, if it's right for you, please get in touch.
Fantastic. And I will ensure that there are links to all of the places people can find you online in the show notes.
Lovely.
Thank you so much for coming back on the show.
I've really enjoyed it.
Me too. Lovely to chat to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm sure we will do this again soon. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.